Turning our attention now to fishing tackle collecting, those fishing lures and maybe rods and reels, but lures I know we're going to deal with for sure. Talking about collecting as a hobby with Chris Hauser of Wauwatosa, Wisconsin. He's been collecting fishing tackle for more than 20 years, describes himself as a piscatorial lureologist, and he is one of 200 exhibitors expected at the Great Milwaukee Classic. It's hosted by the National Fishing Lure Collectors Club, and it's going to be held at the Sheraton Milwaukee Brookfield Hotel and is open to the public this Friday from 11 a.m. to 7 and Saturday from 9 to 1. So really pleased to welcome Chris Hauser. He's with us by phone today, as a matter of fact, and he's here to answer your questions and talk about fishing tackle collecting, and I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at talk@wpr.org. Chris Hauser, welcome to the show. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for asking. I'm happy to be here.
You have got a lot of tackle.
That's what they say.
Oh, man. Tell us about the collection. What all of you? You've got fishing tackle, lures, of course, but what else do you have?
Rods, reels, fishing gaffs, flies, musky lures, bass lures. Most of my collection is based on Wisconsin-made lures, typically from Milwaukee area or up, you know, by Weber or Frost. Up in the middle of the state, they're a prolific maker of flies, catalogs, books, just all kinds of information. Former tackle stores in the area, always looking for information about tackle stores and how they sold their product and what kind of displays they had in their stores.
I have a lot of tackle boxes. I've got probably four tackle boxes completely filled with musky lures alone, and then a box on the side filled with lures. But you've got a tackle box for nearly every day of the year, I'm told.
I do collect boxes themselves, tackle boxes. I have in the neighborhood about 200 tackle boxes. Try to get the ones made in Wisconsin, in Jetek, Wisconsin, made the Tronic, a foldable wood tackle box. I have one of those. That's probably the most valuable one.
Oh.
And lots of lures. I still fish. I do a lot of fishing with the Okachi Fishing Club and Walleyes Unlimited. So I use a lot of these older lures for fishing, hoping that the fish hasn't seen one of these in a while and he might bite it.
Well, a lure recently sold at auction at a recent Great Milwaukee Classic that for $30,000. But aren't most antique lures much less valuable?
Typically speaking, yes. There's the pre-1920s can bring substantial money. A lure at auction, the highest price paid, I believe, is $100,000, and that was a similar lure to the Haskell Minnow that sold at our show, but it was basically a one-of-a-kind type thing, like a paperweight type of thing, maybe. Yeah. I can't imagine them casting a 10-inch long metal lure in 1859. But most of the lures out there, collectible, probably from the 50s, 60s, and 70s, could range from a couple dollars, to, you know, a couple hundred dollars.
Yeah.
I mean, there's extreme cases where they could go for thousands, but that's extremely rare.
I've got an email from Carl who said, I started my collection with my dad's old lures. They've been and have been collecting for 40 years. I have some Frenchie LeMay musky topwater baits that were purchased recently. Like, more information on these. Two are original baits, I believe, and the rest are boxed lures from the mid-90s, I'm told. Unable to make it to the show this year, so any information would be great.
The early Frenchie baits are very collectible. That's the pre-boxed ones with his name and face on them, the Lee lures. Mm-hmm. Some were one of a kind. He made lures for people, and those can be valuable, hundreds of dollars. Where the normal Frenchies in the box, we say Frenchie, that's his, that was his nickname, and they could be in the $50 range.
All right, so there's some value there. Who do you know anything about Frenchie LeMay?
Yes, I actually had him autograph one of my books that was written here in Milwaukee area by Bob Slade on Wisconsin fishing tackle, and Frenchie was in the book. And he autographed the book, and I used to go up and visit him, actually. And he was a great guy, great musky stories. And he made some awesome lures that typically a paint didn't hold up too bad, but they were very intriguing, you know, creepers and surface baits. Nothing more fun than having a musky hit a surface bait.
Oh, no, you're absolutely right about that. That is the one of the biggest thrills. Some of the biggest thrills I've ever had were muskie taking top water bait, that's for sure. What does condition play? I assume condition plays a role.
Some collectors like saying condition, condition, condition. You know, that's pretty much everything, certainly, you know, location. It is very important. You know, let's say if you go from a scale of 0 to 10 and the lure is a 9 or a 10, you're going to command pretty good price. If you just drop just a little bit below that, there's a paint chipping, paint removal, or something's wrong, you know, with the aesthetics of the lure, it could drop at 30-40%.
And what about the event itself, the Great Milwaukee Classic? So we're going to have lots of exhibitors there, and really, even if you don't buy anything, it's probably great fun to just go look.
It's neat to see the history. They typically have a display up of collections that certain collectors have. It's a great place to buy older lures to go fish with. A lot of guys are happy to sell those older lures, you know, a head and flap tail to go fishing with for muskie to whatever. It's a lot of people. They come from all around the world. I've seen people from England there and Japan. It's a great event. They put on an excellent show. It's the largest, I believe, in the Midwest area. Like I said, they come from all over. I get excited about it. It's just a lot of fun. and you get to meet tackle collectors with their stories and how they found tackle and what they found.
I bet there. Maybe we'll share some of those, but I want to get Tom from Verona on the air. Tom, hello.
Hi. I have something unique. I have a fly fishing kit or a set from Japan that my uncle sent me in 1950. I never used it because I was so proud of it. It's an original bamboo case, bamboo fishing rod with flies and a fly reel. About 60 years old.
Mm-hmm. I typically do see those quite a bit. If they're complete and together, I'm assuming that you want a price or an evaluation on it.
Yeah, just curious.
Typically speaking, if it's complete in there, they can run in the $100 range.
Okay.
They're not really good rods to fish with. They weren't built the best to speak of, but it's neat for the history. Back then, it's amazing how many of those came over from the war, came over here, you know.
Oh, sure. Tom, thank you. I want to give Bernice and Hayward a chance. Bernice, hello again.
Yes. I have Garcia and Abu, rods and reels, and, of course, I've got plenty of fishing tackle dating back to 1941.
Mm-hmm.
Fly fishing and, daredevils and those with the, I don't know, they've got fuzzy tails on them and, many, many. I've got them all in the basement hanging up.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I must have 40 or 50 different lures.
Mm-hmm.
And I myself used to go ahead and fish with a little bitty jig, rubber jig, and I called it my catch-em-all. And it caught everything. Muskies, walleye, bass, you name it. And I'm on a lake. but I was wondering if somebody might be interested in any of these lures.
Well, I just finished talking to Al this morning. Al Tumas is up in your area, T-U-M-A-S. Al
T-U-M-A-S?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He runs the Nina Lure Show, which is March 20th, and that's a tackle show that we have up there, and he's been running it for years, and he lives up in your area. He'd be happy to take a look at it. Al and Helen Tumas, great people, a lot of fun. I see him at the show here and exchange stories, especially about musky lures.
Ah.
Where's he located?
Where's he located again?
He's not far from you. You said you were in Hayward?
I'm 12 miles east of Hayward.
Yeah, he's right in that area, probably within 20 miles off the top of my head. I can look it up real quick.
Well, 20 miles, you know, that could be one way or the other.
Minocqua. He's in Minocqua.
Oh, he's in Minocqua, so.
Yeah, and I can give you his number if you want it.
Sure.
715-356-9950.
Okay, 715-356-9950.
Yes.
All right.
And what's the last number?
9950.
9950. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Thanks much.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Talking about fishing tackle collecting today with Chris Hauser of Wauwatosa. He is going to be one of 200 exhibitors expected at the Great Milwaukee Classic, hosted by the National Fishing Lure Collectors Club, coming up Friday from 11 to 7 and Saturday from 9 to 1 p.m. And we'll visit with him right up until 12:30 today here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Great to have you along here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here talking fishing tackle collecting as a hobby with Chris Hauser of Wauwatosa. And he's been collecting for a long, long time, and he's going to be exhibiting one of 200 exhibitors at the Great Milwaukee Classic, hosted by the National Fishing Lure Collectors Club at the Sheraton Milwaukee Brookfield Hotel. I didn't mention that earlier. It's the Sheraton Milwaukee Brookfield Hotel, open to the public this Friday from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Saturday from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. And really great to have him with us today to talk about lures. And Brian in Beecher, Wisconsin, has a question for you, Chris. So we're going to go right to Brian. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Brian.
Hi. How you doing? Say, I got a lure. It's a French. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right or not, but it's called a D-E-P-O-S-E, depose or something to that effect. I had heard that it is a sought-after lure by collectors. It was. It's made in France, and I'd like. And if that be so, I'd like to know. You know what you could tell me about the history of it.
Can you describe that lure for me?
It's kind of a. It's kind of a homely looking worm type thing, and two hooks and. And the tail is it jointed, but the only maybe an eel like looking. It's the spelling on it is D E P O S E.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can think of a couple lures that look like that. It's plastic or rubber.
It's a rubberish or plasticish.
Okay.
I'm not sure if it's rubber.
I'm not too sure on that one, but it does remind me of a story from MEPS and how they started. They would get French spinners from over there. In fact, they say France on them sometimes now.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what happened was those guys were over there for the war, and he saw those spinners, whoever it was, one of the MEPS boys, and they wanted those spinners. And he said, well, you want these spinners? We want something from you. And he traded nylons for spinners. So that's how MEPS started. That's from what I heard. The rubber lure, I'm not too sure on. I can't say I come across it too often, or it doesn't ring my bell as far as being something sought after collectible off the top of my head.
Okay, so we can't help you with that, but if you make it over to the event in Milwaukee, there may be, you know, where people can take a look at it.
Mm-hmm.
I would think that'd help, Chris.
It could.
Could help.
Could help, sure.
All right. Thanks, Brian. Karen in Portage, we'll turn to you now. Hi, Karen.
Good morning. I am a wood carver whittler, and I was very happily whittling myself a nice little 4-inch sucker type fish out of red cedar, and a neighbor came over, and he collects old lures and is into that stuff, and he said, "You have carved a decoy," and I didn't know what he was talking about, so he explained it for spear fishing. Mm-hmm. And then he said, "You should carve smaller for lures." I was at like 3 to 4 inches, and I went down to 2 inches. But now he's got me confused because I thought I was doing folk art, and he says, "You know, there might be a market there." But I don't know which way to go. I looked at some lures that are beautifully painted. These things look like miniature artworks of the absolute fish. But I kind of don't really want to paint them. I don't know if I should varnish them. I don't know if I should go to the decoy size or the lure size. And then if I put the hooks in them, where to get hooks that would fit the folk art genre and not the new Walmart type hook.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have several carvers that show up at our show to buy parts to make lures. And they do have a carving show, I think, up in Oshkosh, along with the Duck Decoy Show, talking about spearing decoys. I think those are neater, myself. I don't know if that's a good word, but I would say more desirable. You'd have to do probably a little history on how to make the ice decoy. They want them to swim in a circle when they pull them up for spearing. Making a lure to be fishable, that would be hard.
Yeah.
Because you're worried about the hooks pulling out and whatnot. We do have several people at the show that bring decoys and lures that they make themselves, and they're really beautiful. You don't even want to fish with them. You know, you spend $50 to $100 for a musky lure, and it looks so nice, you just put it on the wall.
You don't want to use it. I don't want to use it.
Right.
Would they be sealed, and do you have an idea of a book? Because I don't really travel.
No, not off the top of my head on decoy books on how to make them. I would check with the local library.
Yeah.
Check your libraries.
Thank you very much, Karen, for calling. Let's turn to Nancy in Ridgeland next. Hi, Nancy.
Good morning, Larry. How are you?
Great. Thank you for calling.
Yes. Say, I do some public relations work with the Chautauqua Area Calhoun Museum up here in Chautauqua, and I heard Chris mention the Head and Lure Company, and the Head and Lure Company used to be up in Chautauqua as one of the old industries and businesses that used to be there, along with the Chautauqua Boat Company and a lot of other historic things, and we have quite a collection of Head and Lures in the museum if people want to take a look at those during the time that the museum is open. But I wondered if Chris would tell us a little bit about the Head and Company and if he has any information about its history, and also wanted to let people know if they want to know more about the Chautauqua Museum that they can go to our new website at chautauquamuseum.org.
Chautauquamuseum.org. Okay. Thanks, Nancy.
Actually, the lures up there are from a friend of mine, lure collector that I've talked to many of times. He's passed away, Clyde Harbin.
Right.
Has donated quite a bit up there. And there's quite a few articles about Clyde. He considered the father of fishing lures. He wrote some books. He cataloged all the catalogs from Hedden from the early years and how they started. It's the most sought-after lures are the Hedden ones. I've got a neat little story from when they were painting the lures in the 1900s, early 1900s, is that they had Grandma help them work with the lures, and she wanted to dry them quicker, so she put them in the oven. And when they did that, the lure would crack like a desert. Well, that became a color for them called cracked back or crackleback.
Ah.
So it was sort of a neat, ingenious idea by accident.
That's great.
That's a great story.
I also should mention, Larry, that we're going to be having a vintage boat rally in Chautauqua this summer. We don't have a date specified for it, but we'd sure like to have people that have vintage boats, and we'll probably have some lures and stuff on display for people to see as well, to bring their boats on. It's going to be a trailered boat rally, and people can bring, there'll be some old Chitek wooden boats there, and lots of different things happening.
So, that sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, keep people attuned to the website at chitekmuseum.org, and they'll know all about it.
All right. Thanks, Nancy. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it. Well, that sounds like fun, doesn't it, Tris?
Oh, I want to go.
I do, too. Alan Durand, we'll turn to you next. Hi, Al.
Good morning, Larry, and thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I guess it's a day for questions about Chitek. I happen to own one of the Chitek floating tackle boxes. I have a collection of old lures and things, and just curious as to its value also, I have probably one of the first Rapalas, first model that was sold in the country, and I'd be interested in the value of that also.
Well, the Rapala, I'm not sure on. I know they're very collectible right now. If a new collector wants to start out, they're inexpensive most of the time, but they have colors that they discontinued. The Rapala Rapala basically was designed in Finland, and to bring life to it, a color to it, they took wrappers from chocolate candy.
Oh.
And that's what was on the side of those to attract the fish to the balsa wood. The Chitek box, they made several different woods with those, and they could range a couple hundred dollars to, if everything's complete, paperwork and whatnot, almost to about $800.
Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you very much.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. And Richard in Appleseed, we are on to you now. Hi, Richard.
Good morning, Larry.
Morning.
I just got to my cottage, and I turned public radio on. I always listen to your show. It's great.
Thank you.
I don't have a question as much as I have some nostalgia. I had a good friend in De Pere, owned a sporting goods store in West Dallas in the late 40s and 50s. And about 10 years ago, he gave me 16 lures in a box. And all these lures are in boxes, Head and South Bend, CCB. And I said, Mike, do you know what these are worth? He says, I want you to have them because you're a good friend of mine. And I take a woodworking class. I made a little case for them, and I look at them, and I enjoy them so much, I wouldn't part with them for anything in the world. Just a little bit of nostalgia.
That's a great story. You get lots of great stories yourself, I bet, Chris.
Oh, yes. I have one I could share real quick if you want.
Sure.
Looking at fishing tackle, the guy talked about his uncle in the 40s, and he told me this story. He said his uncle went to the local tackle store up there, and he said, well, what are they biting on? He said, the bait store owner says, oh, they're biting on frogs. He said, okay. So he bought frogs, and he said, oh, how do you hook these things? Well, you have to use this harness, this special harness, and you hook them like this. And so he went out fishing in a bright, sunny day, and he was casting away with this frog. And the day was going on, not much action, and he pulled the frog out of the water. Just as he's pulling it out of the water, he sees the frog grabbing the fishing line on top. And the frog was looking at him, real sad, he says. He says, I felt sorry for him, and I let him go, and I let all his buddies go.
That's a great story.
That's a great story. Yeah. Thanks, Richard.
You're very welcome. Have a nice day.
Yeah, you too. Oh, that's a good story. Camille in Colfax, we are on to you now. Hi, Camille.
Hi. Hey, I got a fishing pole from my father, and it's a J.C. Higgins. I know you were talking about the tackle. I didn't know. Actually, it's a reel. And it must be from the same company.
J.C. Higgins
right.
Reel.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. And I was just trying to kind of find a date on it. It's it has little engraved pictures on it also.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a 537-31010. I'm just trying to find a date and some information about that.
I'm not exactly sure on the years, but it would be in the 50s. They were sold, I believe, at Sears. It's a neat-looking reel. They went to, it's a picture of a man fishing in there or etching or whatever, right?
Yep.
Not a lot of value. Mint are really nice. Maybe in a box could be $20 or $30. I do see them, but they're usually rusted. So those would be a lot less money. J.C. Higgins would sell lures that were substandard from the bigger companies. They actually got lures from the Paw Paw Company in Michigan, and they would put their stamp on the lures. So that's the way you knew that they were J.C. Higgins. But some people would collect just J.C. Higgins, and then people collect Paw Paw lures, which would have some J.C. versions, less paint on it, a little less quality, more expensive or a better cost-wise for the beginning fisherman, or you're saving some money. You didn't want to spend, you know, $1.25. You got the J.C. Higgins for 75 cents.
Got it.
Do you know what the material is? Is it aluminum or steel? Because it's just
Is it soft colored looking?
Yeah, kind
it's
of.
It's on nickel plated.
Oh, nickel plated. Okay.
Nickel plated would be the typical one.
That would make sense on there. Well, thank you. I appreciate the information.
All right. Thanks, Camille. Frank and Mercer, on to you now. Hi, Frank.
Hey. I've got a lure that I've never seen before. It's a Paul Bunyan Electro lure. Have you ever heard of that or seen that one?
Sure.
Oh, okay. It's in the box, and it's looks like it really didn't work very well. I would think water leaked through the...
Right, it had a battery in it.
Right. What's the value of something like that?
If it's not too... rusted or any
good shape.
That way.
Still in the box.
What color was it?
Silver. It had the red. The bulb made it red on the nose.
I would have to say, without seeing it, obviously, to see it in person would give me a different idea as far as condition. But I would say in a $50 range.
Okay.
All right.
Good. Thanks.
All right. Thank you for calling. And Tom in Madison, on to you.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. If it's not too late, Happy New Year and safe fishing and hunting to everybody. Gentlemen, this is a great show. Larry, you're famous for it. My father recently passed. He was an avid outdoorsman, and I came into possession of his muskie equipment that I used to fish with when I was young. And there was a lure or two lures in specific that were great to me. Both were head and dweejacks. They had five or six sets of trebles with a propeller at each end. I actually caught a 54-inch muskie when I was 48 inches tall on Partridge Lake up in Vilas. And I haven't weeded through enough to see if I still got them both. I definitely have one. Promised it to my nephew who lost a bigger fish on the same lake the same day. And, God, I hate to give it up. But what I'm wondering about is if I were to try to replicate these at all, not for market or anything, but just so I could get something I could use, is there any kind of, infringement issues I have to worry about, or as long as I'm not marketing these? And, again, to touch on that particular bait, I had one in a perch pattern and one in a sucker pattern, or Dad did. And, are they rare, et cetera? And thanks again, and I'll listen off the air.
All right.
A lot of guys do, well, I shouldn't say a lot of guys, but there's manufacturers out there that make classic lures. In other words, they'll find an older lure, and some people would like to fish with that. There are several companies out there that do make a similar five-hook lure, minnow type. Infringement-wise, it's just a matter of them using the head and name in their advertising or whatnot.
They can't do that, no.
I wouldn't think so. But yes, there's actually there's companies out there that sell them in the bare wood with the hardware, and you can paint them yourselves.
Oh.
So I have seen that.
Where do you go to find the names of those companies?
Probably the internet, search, replicas or repos.
Oh, okay.
Or something, and...
Replica lures.
Replica lures, classic lures. There's people out there that do, there's a whole group of guys out there making lures that are similar to the old ones. And as collectors, we get a little frustrated. We hope that they're not taking them and repainting them exactly like the factory did,
Sure.
That's a big no-no as far as our club is concerned. We do not have repaints at our club show.
Okay.
Hopefully you won't see any of those there. You'll see something similar. Typically, if a person does repaint it to make it look like that, he's supposed to mark it with his initials on the bottom.
Okay.
So.
And the National Fishing Lure Collectors Club, that's a pretty good number of members in it, too.
It's a lot. It fluctuates. We do have a national meet, probably over 700 tables of fishing tackle once a year in July. I think they moved it this year. It used to be in Kentucky, and I think they moved it. Not sure off the top of my head where it's, I think it was Knoxville, Tennessee, if I'm not mistaken.
Let's turn to Mike in Seneca. Mike, hello.
Yeah, thank you, Larry.
Sure.
I have a quick story and a question about head and plug. Which one you want first?
Well, either, which whatever is your pleasure.
Okay, I guess the my dad used to use a particular head and plug called a meadow mouse, and he used to catch walleyes and pike with it, and it actually looked like a mouse. It had kind of like, I wouldn't say fur, but it was fuzzy, and then it had a leather tail.
Yeah, I remember that lure.
Yeah, and I wondered if they're still available because that was a dead ringer. I mean, it worked so good, and that was my question on that. And then I was going to tell you about this auction a buddy of mine had, and he was kind of an outdoorsman, and he had a state auction from, I guess, his mother, and he threw all kinds of stuff on it. And anyway, there was these four muskie fishermen came, and I don't even know if he knew them, but he had some muskie plugs there. There was two in the boxes and two that he apparently used. And they were long, big ones. I mean, they might have been 6-7 inches long. Mm-hmm. And they waited and waited, and finally, towards the end of the auction, he got to the fishing tackle, and he started the bids, and these guys were just like fighting over these back and forth and up and down, and you know, and finally he just about fell over. The four plugs plus some other stuff brought nearly $700.
Mm-hmm.
How could that be?
You need two people at an auction to bring the price up.
Yeah, that's what you need, and if you got four, that's all the better.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what about that head and mouse?
The mouse, that's an excellent bait. There's similar baits to that. Shakespeare made a mouse. I guess you'd have to do some looking at one of the stores and see if anything's out there. I know when I pick up old fishing tackle here after doing appraisals or people get a hold of me here in Milwaukee, I have lots of guys asking me for those mice to fish with. They don't care what condition it is and it is in, but they'll want them. They'll repaint them, and hopefully the leather tail's there and the ears are there. They actually made some with whiskers, and so it's rather interesting to see somebody fish with these older lures. The Shakespeare mouse is very similar. It has a open mouth type face to it, similar to the baby's rattle here made in Milwaukee. Years ago, and you would just throw that up to the shoreline, bring in a couple turns, and just let it sit. And you can see the wakes from either side. Bass just coming right in for that lure. So, yeah, it's an excellent bait.
Oh, that's great. And thanks a lot, Mike, for calling. And the show this weekend, it's Friday from 11 to 7 and Saturday from 9 to 1. At the Sheraton Milwaukee Brookfield Hotel, correct?
Right. It's right off the highway.
Right off the highway.
In Moreland. Mm-hmm.
Sheraton Milwaukee Brookfield Hotel. And Chris Hauser, thank you so much for being with us today. Appreciate it very much. It was a lot of fun.
A lot of fun. Thank you.
Chris Hauser of Wauwatosa, who has collected lots of tackle, fishing tackle, and he's one of 200 exhibitors expected at the Great Milwaukee Classic this weekend, Friday and Saturday. Should be a lot of fun. Tomorrow, we'll take a look at home renovation and repairs with Chad Spade of Chad's Carpentry and John Viner of the Energy Center of Wisconsin. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network.